to my grandchildren, am known as Papa Kev. And some of you have various names that you use or that your grandchildren use with you. And without using that as an illustration to put myself in the message, I'm simply saying that there are terms of affection that we're known by. I know Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry, Papa and Baba, to their grandchildren, and possibly you have other names as well. And what I want to talk this morning about comes in the context of a loving Jesus who loves his family, who loves his body, and wants to take care of his body. And the context of what I'm going to speak about this morning is relational. God puts papas in the body of Christ. Now, some of you, if you had a difficult relationship with your father, that might not mean so much. And I am sorry that was not ordained of God. The fathers among us are called to be men of God to our children and to our grandchildren. And if you did not have that, I pray that God ministers healing to you if he has not done so already. But there's a concept of the Father's heart of God that is related as we even use that word, Papa. Can you say it with me? Papa. Now, what I want to talk about this morning has to do with really a paradigm shift that's happening in the body of Christ. And there is a major paradigm that's occurring. What is the church? Who is the church? And how is it to function? We've understood for years that God is growing us into Christ-likeness, into maturity. We are called Christians. What does the name Christian mean? Christ-like, little Christs. Every year at the end of a year, I ask you three questions, and I will repeat these from time to time throughout the year as we progress. Number one, what kind of Christian do you want to be? Number two, what kind of Christianity do you want to live? Number three, which those two answers lead to your answer to number three, what kind of church, therefore, do you want to have and be? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The church. The church is not just where we go, it's who we are. I said the church is not just where we go, it's who we are. Turn to each other, say, hi there, you good-looking part of God's church. Some of you really like that. So in closing, Jesus is the head of his body. We're not separate, but we're one with him. And he directs us according to his word. How many believe this is the manual for all life, living, faith, and practice? The Bible is our textbook. We're not here, as I said a week or two ago, to deliver a short homily, two or three poems, and send you on your way. We're here to study the living Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. Break it down. Understand, what does it mean, O God? Engraft it into our souls. Conform me to your image. You have called me to yourself. I'm called to be just like you. So, O God, let this go to work inside of me. How many have that hunger in their hearts this morning? That I'm talking to the right group of people. Now, he releases his gifts to his church to perfect, to guide, to lead us, and to show us himself and his purposes. He's the head. We're the body. We are not a headless body. There have been days, and some of you have passed through along with me the charismatic move back in the late 60s and 70s, in which it was have gift, will travel. And nobody wanted to much be identified. I mean, after all, the body of Christ local was kind of by the wayside. It was the body of Christ universal that's important. So I get on my pony right out of town in the sunset and take my gift elsewhere. And it doesn't matter if I'm identified or identifiable. I just have a gift. Now, that's a terrible characterization of the charismatic movement because it was one of the largest major outpourings of the Holy Spirit in the last two centuries. And God is still moving. Someone say amen. Amen. He's still moving. But the point I'm making is, we're not a headless body. We are called to be identified in relationship in intimacy with Him. And when it comes to walking with the Lord, I'm not in the driver's seat. He is. I said, I'm not in a driver's seat. He is. Is that true for you? I read a thing the other day. I think it was just down the street. I thought it was good. If God is your co-pilot, switch seats. He's in charge, folks. So therefore, Jesus, since you're in charge, what is it you want me to do? How do you want me to act? How can I change to be more like you? He directs us. We build according to His patterns. Listen to the Scripture. This is why we hold fast to the head. Ephesians 1, verse 22. And we have some Scriptures for your overheads. I'm using the New King James Bible. If you don't have a Scripture with you this morning or a Bible with you, we have them in the back. We always desire you to be able to have a Scripture to read. I also put it up here on the overheads. Ephesians 1, verse 22. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be, what is it? Head over all things to the church. Now let's go to the Amplified Version as we look in Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire, declaring you unworthy, disqualifying you for the prize, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he claims he has seen, vainly puffed up by the sensuous notions inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceit. Let nobody like that think that they're going to get in line and lead you. And, verse 19, say it with me please, not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, supplied and knit together by means of its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Now turn to each other and say, hi joint, hi ligament. So the concept of the body comes from the Word of God. We are His body, whom He nourishes. It's His body. The word ecclesia or ecclesia is the called out ones, it means in the Greek. Those He has called out from the world. His goal is to be our goal. His purpose is to be our purpose. His heart is to be our heart. And so He wants to grow us up, change us, conform us to His image, to be just like Him. Back to the sharing, even Dean, as you just said. And the Scripture says, He is the potter, I am the clay. Melt me, mold me, make me in your way. He's in charge. Did you get that point? What we're talking about here is He is in charge. The other day, I walked by my door jamb at my house, and you know, just going on a quick journey from room to room, and I just reached out and went up the door jamb. And it was ow, 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 ow. Of course, you got to remember, I'm a wimp, so ow, 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 ow. Several slivers. Not big stuff. Minuscule. Could hardly see it. You know, I'm the kind of guy who calls for a medic on a paper cut, you know. Ow! So I'd brush it off and get rid of most of them, but one little one said, I'm parked. I like your finger. And so for the next half hour, you know, it's always good. If you work with your hands, it's always good to have the right tool, right? Right. So I went to the kitchen and got a knife. I'm standing here, you know, my little dogs are looking up at me like, you're crazy, man. I'm digging at that thing, not getting it, digging at it. Finally I go, I'm, you know, call me genius if you want. Tweezers! God made them! People invented them! Tweezers! And within a few seconds I had it out, but you know, that little thing hurt and kept hurting. It hurt. So I went and got my Neosporin and put it all around it, wrapped it with a Band-Aid, and didn't make too big of a deal of it for the rest of the day. I got a hurt. Owie. See. You know, that's just a little tiny picture of I care for my body and the littlest pain. I had to get rid of that thing, and it was going to be some pain getting there, boy, to get rid of the thing that made me hurt. But healing would come once the sliver was gone. How much more do you think our Lord loves His body and wants to make sure things are right. And He puts people in the body to help things get right. Someone say amen. Breathe. What is God's goal? He uses gifts to minister to His body. Something to come along and take out the infection or help bring healing. We're in a series on the Holy Spirit. Who is He? What is His ministry? And we see that He gave gifts when we want them to be freely expressed. Welcome, my friends, this morning. Thank you for bringing forth the obedient expression of the gifts this morning. And we want them to be freely expressed in His church family. We allow His Spirit to function, to flow. Let's continue on. We've talked a little bit about this. We're going to do so more at length this morning. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And He Himself gave some. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. He Himself gave some to be, what are they? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now let's look at why He gave them. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Is there a comma there between saints and four? There's not. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many want to be just like Jesus? That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. May what? Grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, as we take a look at the Scripture, there are utterance gifts, there are gifts of revelation, there are office gifts, there are ministry gifts. Here we find gifts are people. There are the gift. They're not just doing gifts. They are gifts. Gifts to the body of Christ. To help the body of Christ grow, to mature, to grow up. Now watch, as we just go through a section, I believe they're all on the next overhead, Pat. I just want to go through this real quickly. I'm going to be teaching this morning on a particular element of this. Equipping. This Scripture talks about equipping. In the King James, if you can read that, it's the word for the perfecting. And that literally is katartismos, and it means a complete furnishing. God's interested in the complete furnishing of His people. Next, for the work. The ergon, the toil, the labor. Why does He want to perfect us? Because He's got a toil, a labor, an ergon, something for each of us to do. How many know you've got something from God to do? Amen. All right. For the edifying. Or keep doing that. For the architecture, the structure. For the building and the structure of the body of Christ. Until He's going to keep this ministry going, until we all come to... Are we there yet, church? I got a few friends I'm close with. But are we there yet in the body of Christ as in general? Till we all come to unity, henotes, oneness, unanimity of the faith. Do we all come to the knowledge, which is the Greek word epigenosis, recognition, full discernment, acknowledging the Son of God? Do we all come to a perfect, or teleos, a complete man? Do we all see Jesus? More than anyone else, I want to see You, Lord. Till we all come to the measure of the stature, helikia, or maturity of the fullness, piama, completion, what fills up. He wants us to be filled up with maturity in Christ. That we be no longer children, that's nepios, not speaking, or infants, the kinds of infants that don't speak yet. He doesn't want us to be that way, to be like Jesus. mature. Tossed to and fro, surging or fluctuating or carried, it says next. Carried, conveyed around with every wind of doctrine, instruction, or information. If you recall, we've taught many times on the book of Acts and we've taught on the New Testament where Paul ran into and had to deal with correcting the error that would come into the church as he began because there were traveling teachers in his day. Sophists and people who would go around bringing philosophies of men and the Gnostics and other people, and they would be paid good money to go around and travel and teach. And the scripture says, I don't want you tossed all around with that stuff. God doesn't want that happening. By trickery, gambling or fraud that men do, and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting or fraudulence or that which would cause you to stray. But speaking the truth, true doctrine, in love, we all, say it with me, grow up. Oxano. We grow and increase in Christ, the head. And the Bible then says all of that is happening so all parts of the body can do their part. Fitly joined together. That literally means to render close jointed together. Reach out, link your arm with somebody now sitting next to you there this morning. Go ahead, link arms. If you're new and you don't know anybody, just look at them and say, you just sit where you are, don't worry. All right. Fitly joined together, rendering close jointed together, organized compactly. Every joint or ligament supplies and makes contribution. Church, you are vitally important. Every person in this room is important to Jesus for the functioning of his body. And it goes on to talk about how every part does its share, causes the body to grow, so it's edified in love. He wants his church built up, no slivers, no pains, but harmony and functioning together. Slim, trim, and thank you, Jim. He's still working on me. Every part contributes. Now, let me say something very carefully. I believe in outreach. I believe in evangelism without question. I believe we are called to go, but it also says make disciples. And if the church, if the home, if the trunk of the tree is not solid, you're never going to get any good taste and fruit out on that limb. You can go all day long, but it's not sin, it's not error, and in fact it is right. You must prioritize the building of the body. This whole scripture is so that the body is built up and edified in love, strong, full of life, so you can send out life. Powerful. God's goal. And our goal oftentimes falls so far short. Well, I just wanted to go get blessed at church. And I pray to God that we all always go and get blessed at church. But God's goal is so big. What I want to talk about this morning is the ministry of the apostle. The ascension gift apostle. God uses people. He uses gifts. They are people. He uses leaders in the body of Christ to serve as his hands to his people, to train, to lead, and to mentor. God's goal is that all of his people are activated. Pastor Carl's written a book. It's out there on the counter usually, called, or at the back. The Activated Church. His goal is that all of us are actively functioning and vibrantly alive and contributing. It's not just the pastor's job. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Church ain't growing? Pastor's fault. I didn't get you to hang out of church this morning? Pastor's fault. I'm not healed? Pastor's fault. Pastor's fault. Now, you know when you go in the front row, you got to bring an umbrella to church. Right? What's wrong with that? Pastor. But see, there's the old paradigm. That's the old paradigm. Hire the man, hire and fire the pastor, pay him a little bit, keep him in a little tumble-down shanty by the side of the church, and if he doesn't do the job, we'll send him down the road. And the Bible says the pastor's job is one of the fivefold ministry to help minister to the body of Christ, the saints who do the work of the ministry. That wasn't very loud. The saints who do the work of the ministry. What's my job? Well, part of my job is to teach and to bring the Word of God so we grow up in Christ and we know what our job is to be as the body of Christ or this part of His body. You know, somebody, you're going to teach on an apostle. Don't you know there's error all through the land on apostles? Oh, yes, there's error all through the land on any element of the body of Christ you can think of. But you don't throw truth of the Scripture out because somebody takes it to error. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I want what God wants. And because somebody does make a mistake or somebody sins, you know, they can say it about it all day long. I had my sister-in-law or my stepsister say to me, I was wonderfully baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 16. Revival hit my home and hit me. Wow. It was powerful. You believe that? Oh, good. Got a few of you. Anyway, it was powerful. It was literally powerful. And my stepsister looked at me. She goes, do you believe in speaking in tongues? I said, yeah. She said, don't you know the crazy houses are full of people who speak in tongues? I said, don't you know there's a lot more people in there that don't speak in tongues? Pretty good, don't you think? Take it on my feet. There are people who take everything into error. But church, our job by the grace of the Lord is to teach what the Scripture teaches, to receive what the Scripture teaches, and to do as much as we can to encourage each other to live the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
You don't throw it out because somebody made a mistake. A lot of sheep make a lot of mistakes. So do a lot of pastors. We all need Jesus. Folks, the bottom line is if we ever forget how much we need Jesus, we're in trouble. I don't care if you're pastor or pauper. It doesn't matter. We all need Jesus. And the truth is we are all in full-time ministry. Preach it, Pastor Kev! We are all in full-time ministry. God's goal is to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. If you're in the marketplace, you are called to be in the marketplace like Jesus. Village Baker's over here. You're baking bread for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Making bread for Jesus and wish you were making more. I know. You see, it doesn't matter. Real estate or whatever it might be, whatever element you are in, you live it for Jesus Christ. When you're with your friends and your family, when you're walking down the street with your neighbors, you're living it for Jesus Christ. So they look at you and me and they go, I get it. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Oh, that's what Jesus looks like. I get it. You mean even though I was a schnook to you, though you got upset with me, you're still here today because you love me? Yeah, we're to be like Jesus. All of us, salt and light to bring life. Now, since the first century church, we have lost some things. Look around you today. Now, not necessarily in this room. Is the Church of Jesus Christ fully mature yet? Is it perfect? Again, going to church is a lot different than being the church. Today, let me just share some interesting perspectives with you. Today, commonly, the list of office gifts is split into two. That which is accepted and that which is not. Which one of these fivefold ministry gifts do you think are accepted today? Which ones? Pastor.
Teacher.
Evangelist. Which two do you think aren't so accepted? Prophet. An apostle. Pretty interesting stuff. Pretty interesting. Some say the latter was only present in the first century church. Don't talk about them. Shh, don't. They're not for today. Well, I'm going to talk about them because, yes, they are. They're in the Bible. Three people said amen. Give it to me with gusto.
Amen.
Pastor Kevin, you're never controversial. Okay, I am. All right. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, hang in here with me. The evangelist, pastor, and teacher are absolutely vital in the church. But the Bible points the other two out as foundational ministries that are anchored to Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, undergirding the Lord's church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Take a look. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, talk about it. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Jesus was all five of these ministries. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, Jesus, the apostle whom we confess. Matthew 21, 11, Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. Jesus gathered and called souls to God. Pick your scripture of Jesus as the evangelist. 1 Peter 2, 25, Jesus is the shepherd, which is the Greek for pastor and overseers of your soul. John 3, verse 2, it says, Rabbi, we know you, Jesus, are a teacher who has come from God. When he ascended, the Bible says, he sent gifts to us. And those gifts, many of those gifts are people. Ephesians 4, 8 and 11. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He himself gave some to the apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. All right, now I'm going to agree with you that there are indeed foundational apostles. The 12 who labored were discipled by Jesus. Foundational apostles. Jesus had not yet died, risen, and ascended. Matthias, as you know, replaced Judas. That maintained the 12. To say, however, that 12 plus 1, Paul, would make Paul the only ever ascension gift apostle. And that's simply not the case biblically. There are continuing gifts of people in the body of Christ since his ascension. That's why they're called the ascension gift ministries. He ascended on high and sent gifts. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 6. How that by revelation he made known to me, Paul is writing, the mystery, as I've briefly written already. By which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Say the next phrase with me, please. As it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. Now watch this. Watch this. All right? In other ages was not made known to the sons of men as it has been what?
Now.
As it has been now. Okay. I'm just figure I'm pointing to it, okay? As it has been now. Now what's revealed? Look at verse 6. What's revealed? I'm sorry, what's revealed? Okay, that the Gentiles should be heirs. Folks, was that revelation known prior to Jesus' ascension?
No.
If the only apostles were ever only the original 12, this scripture would be considered inaccurate. Because this tells us there was a fresh revelation that came, revealed by his Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Present tense. Since the ascension of Jesus. Let's see the emphasis of the Word of God. Let me ask you this very simple test. Very simple. Which three of the Ephesians 4:11 ministries are mentioned most in the New Testament? Which three?
Apostles and prophets.
Which, who in this room thinks I'm really testing you? How many don't want to raise your hand? All right, listen carefully. The word apostle occurs in the New Testament 85 times. Prophet occurs over 150 times in the New Testament, about 20 of them distinctly to prophets in the church age. Teacher occurs 125 times. How many can guess how many times the word evangelist appears? 3 times. Pastor occurs. How many times do you think? 1 time. All right. Because we have a common belief, does that make it Bible? No. So the Bible speaks of New Testament apostles, prophets, or teachers a combined total of 200 times. Pastor and evangelists, a combined total of 4 times. Now look, guys, I understand. We don't want to do anything bizarre or wacko, and people all think that pastor and evangelist, teacher, that's safe. What's really safe is being biblical. What does the Bible say? Now that doesn't mean we're going to go around throwing titles on everybody's head, but where it applies and where the humility and the character is right, there is nothing wrong but only biblical with it. But you go around throwing a title, it's easier to put a title on than take the title off. Are you breathing? It's pride, Pastor Kev, to use that kind of title. Any kind of title can be proud. But someone who is a genuine apostle, according to the scriptures, is broken and in humility and has character in his life or her life. What's the ministry of the apostle? Let's continue on. We want to see it as the papa of the flock, if you will, under shepherd, under Jesus. Jesus is Lord. None of these ministries replace Jesus. Amen. You have known me now for how long? 8 years. Have I ever preached anything to you that replaces Jesus as your wonderful Lord and Shepherd and Savior?
No.
I'm not going to start. But we want to look at what the Bible teaches. The ministry of the apostle. Often it's defined as sent one. In the scripture, in the Greek, we see it as a transliteration. It's apostolos. The Greek words used to translate apostolos are apostle, messenger, and he that is sent. The scripture, or the Strong's Concordance, which gives us the Greek understanding. Strong's is a tool that gives us Greek and Hebrew understanding. New Testament Greek, your Old Testament is Hebrew. Apostello means delegate, ambassador of the gospel, commissioner of Christ. In a very real sense, church, every one of us has an apostolic mission. Go into all the world and preach, make disciples. Every one of us has an apostolic calling in that way. We're all sent. The big question is where? To whom? How? And that's for each of us to hear from God. But God has given special ministries to the body of Christ to prepare and mentor the church into how to do that ministry. Watch. Matthew 10, 2 through 4 identifies the 12. But then others are identified in the New Testament. There's Matthias in Acts 1:26. There's Paul, Acts 13:2 and following. There's Barnabas, and you've heard of Barnabas, and there's Andronicus, and then there's Junius, most likely and probably a woman apostle. That'll shatter somebody's doctrine. We want to be what God wants us to be. Neither male nor female in Christ, but all one in Christ Jesus. And people say, okay, that's fine, as long as the woman is submissive to the male headship. Hey, guess what? The male headship needs to be submissive too. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Touch each other on the shoulder and say, he's preaching truth to us now. We all need to be properly submitted under the hand of God. James, the Lord's brother, Silas, Silvanus, Timothy, there was Apollos in the group of we and us in the scriptures, and Epaphroditus, and then there were other unnamed apostles, not just the original 12. Now let's take a further look at what the definition is. And there is a movement of God that is happening powerfully throughout the earth right now in our present day. How many want to be involved in what God's doing today? I don't want just the revelation from the 1800s. I do want that revelation. But oh God, I want to know what you're doing in 2009. And I want to be involved in what you're doing. And so, Jesus, I want to align myself with your word so I can hear and be what you want me to be. At the same time, as you are watching literally terrible things unfold throughout our earth, and you know we are watching it, God is raising up ministry in the body of Christ and bringing ministry together to minister to the body of Christ so all of us can grow up in Him and be mature and go out and win the world for Jesus Christ. So we can go out and bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, I want to be involved in what you are doing. And so if we get completely caught up in all the negative, we need to stop ourselves and say, wait a minute, God is birthing revival all around the world at the same time. Do you think that God is taken by surprise in any of our current events? How many believe no matter what happens, though it's not good, and I complain right along with you, how many believe that Jesus is still Lord and He's still on the throne?
Amen.
Somebody say amen really loud.
Amen.
That doesn't mean I live casually and don't care. But it means I know who's in charge.
Amen.
He is bringing forth apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to minister to a life-giving, alive, vibrant, mature, wonderful body of Christ who is in touch and yielded to the head, Jesus Christ. Now, we've seen restoration take place in the church, evangelists, pastors, teachers. There was a major influence of the prophets that began in the body of Christ in the late 80s and on. And also since that time, major ministries around the world. I could talk to you till we're blue in the face about ministries, men and women of God in some of the other cultures, other nations, literally who are overseeing hundreds and hundreds of churches. Thousands of people. I'm not just talking about, oh, go to mega church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about huge move of God taking place. We want our eyes open and our hearts prepared in present truth. Now the word historically translated as apostle is actually referred to as dictionary of the New Testament abridged. Apostole is a fairly common word for a dispatch of ships or any kind of sending. From the New Unger's Bible Dictionary, the Jews, it is said, called the collector of the half shekel, which every Israelite paid annually to the temple, called that person an apostle. William Wengstrom Jr. of Bible Ministries Research gave a little more on the noun or the classical usage of the word apostolos. It's found in maritime language since the Greeks were a seafaring people. It was used to refer to military expeditions. It was used by the Greeks to designate a cargo ship, a freighter, a transport ship, or a fleet sent out. Later, it denoted the commander of a naval expedition or a band of colonists sent overseas. We see a lot of similar characteristics, therefore, in the apostle as a naval admiral or a navy leader. Servant leadership, to be sure, but leaders anointed by God. God is preparing His army, His military might, if you will, and I'm not talking naturally, but to go do warfare. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And God is putting His leaders in place, His body in place, to go out and wage warfare and win the war. Someone say amen. You turn to the back of the book and who wins? But there have to be equipping of the saints for this to happen. The apostles aren't called to be big shots. They're called to equip the saints. Now watch their characteristics. I'm just going to go quickly through them. They plant churches. They take the gospel to unreached places. They anoint and they appoint and train leaders, and they deal with doctrinal problems and sin. They network churches and promote unity and demonstrate and impart the supernatural. There's not a manipulative spirit or a self-promotion. They're not demanding financial guarantees. How do you test some who call themselves apostles? You stay in the Word of God and watch and see if their spirit lines up with the Spirit of Jesus. They will not merchandise the gospel. There's humility. And praise God, they are blessed with adversity. The mark of the cross is on their lives. They're faithful financial stewards. And they preached the Word of God, healed the sick, pronounced God's judgment, worked signs and wonders, ordained deacons and elders in the churches, laid hands on others to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They raised the dead. They preached to Gentiles. They confirmed disciples in their faith. They cast out demons. They set churches in order. They're called master builders of spiritual foundations in the Bible. The apostle builds and prepares God's people for ministry and builds up the body of Christ. The apostle is a pioneer and a foundation builder. The apostle breaks new ground and pioneers new works and opens new territories and leads the people of God to new places. They're not content to settle with the old and the comfortable. They work together hand in hand with the prophetic ministries and prophets to bring truth, to deal with idolatry, and build the foundations. And there is a high level of spiritual authority in the spirit realm. The apostle is a leader who guides and leads the people of God to the next steps of restoration. And the apostle mentors and provides biblical covering for ministries. Now let's just sit there and think, yeah, they're just all pumped up and full of pride. When a ship went down in ancient times, who's the one who went down with the ship? While the other people got off. We need them. To say the apostles don't exist is not biblical. We need them. Because some have fallen into error doesn't mean it's not true biblically. Listen to Paul's heart as we conclude the spirit of the ministry of the apostle. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 through 13. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you, the family of God, the body of Christ, you, those we labor among, those we want to help be strong, you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We've been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Now, this is my verse that I use to call forward the apostles. How many want it? How many want this ministry?
Amen.
Church, as I close, let me give you just a thought, another analogy that kind of wraps, maybe gives you a picture on some of this. I work with real estate. Some of you know that. When we sell houses, there's a variety of factors that we take into account, and we look at curb appeal, the amenities of the home, the functionality of the home, the beauty, the floor plan, how it flows, and how it matches the need expressed of the person who's looking. Let me tell you what I don't typically do when I show a house. I don't typically call out the backhoe and dig up the foundation. Look at this foundation! If the foundation is bad, inspectors will discover. And if the foundation's bad, you got a lot of work to do. The apostle in the body of Christ, along with Jesus as the chief cornerstone, is the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What they're after is helping you look good. We want the body to be beautiful. We want the church of Jesus Christ to shine and be glorious. then we want you to be a living demonstration of Jesus in this earth. And so people who are sitting out on all these streets, who are lost, who are lonely, who are hurting and who are desperate, can say, there's a light shining on the hill with a cross. And I think I can find hope there and life there and healing there. So we're not looking to get hung up on how that foundation looks. We just want to recognize and thank God that there's the foundation. Jesus is our foundation. But the apostles are real. And they labor to help that body of Christ come forth. Thank God for the ministry of the apostles. Here in America and around the world, God is doing much more than what we see day by day, most times on the Olympic Peninsula. We need to lift our vision and know, God, you're in charge and you're doing great things. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me. God, you're in charge and you're doing great things. Let's stand. Let me go. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you that above all, we want to see you. We want to see Jesus high and lifted up. We want to worship you. We want to see you move in your people. We want to see your people released to minister the gifts of God that flow. And Lord, we want to stay in your word and understanding. Lord, we thank you for the ministry in the body of Christ that you've placed. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers who labor faithfully to help us be what you want us to be. Oh Lord, we know we're not finished. We're not done yet. Keep working with us, won't you? Till we become just like you. And they all said,
Amen.
If you're here this morning, the Lord has spoken to your heart. You want to talk afterwards, I'd be most honored to talk with you, pray with you if you need prayer. I know several of us would. There's healing that's needed in your body. There are several who will gather with you to pray with you. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and none of this made any sense at all, let me tell you this. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen? He loves you. Give your life to him. You guys, let it be a fantastic week in the Lord, but let our visions be lifted. Oh Lord, make us your church, what you want us to be, right?
Yes.
Now, Father, bless everyone as they go forward in joy and life on the journey. Bless them richly in Jesus' name. Amen.